reaching for their heart.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
When you write a book, you know, you get all sorts of reactions from people. It's been very interesting because I've noticed, like, for church leaders, for example, there seems to be two camps of people. One, they're like, oh yeah, the written word of God, very important. That's cool. Those guys would be interested in what I've got here. But there's a whole other camp of people that says, well, our society is a post-literate society. So
a post-literate society?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Statistically, if you look at the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP test, people will refer to it as our nation's report card, right? Okay. So this is why we say this, right? Fourth grade, 31%, only 31% of the students are at or above reading proficiency, which means that 69% of them cannot read well enough to pass that test. Grade 8, 30% are at or above proficiency, so 70% of them can't read well enough for their grade level. 12th grade, 35% at or above proficiency, so 65% cannot meet that standard of proficiency in reading. And it's like a pretty basic standard of, you know, I can read this text and summarize it and make some connections. That's proficiency. So you got, you know, like 70% of your eighth graders that can't do that. You know, your 12th graders who are becoming adults, 65% of them can't do that sort of thing.
This is very dangerous. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
Remember, I've been doing radio 33 years. Mm-hmm. Now, I've interviewed President Carter, President Ford, Jeb Bush, whatever it is, Billy Graham, Garth Brooks. I will tell you this, and many billionaires. Mm-hmm. Now, I look for threads. Right. I've always been curious about how people are successful.
Right.
One of the threads is humility.
Mm-hmm.
The other thread, read.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Warren Buffett reads 1,500 pages a day, he says? Do you know the guy that started Microsoft? He says he reads at least 500 pages a day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend of mine that only has an eighth grade education. He's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He reads slowly,
because mm-hmm.
I've been with him. We've been in a group of men. You know, you have to go around the room reading different biblical verses or whatever. But he reads, he says, because I was a high school dropout too, I went back later on, but he says, yeah, I have an eighth grade diploma. He says, can you imagine what I could have done if I went to ninth grade?
That's so funny.
But there is a thread. Readers are leaders.
Absolutely.
If we lose readers. Now, here's the other thing that bothers me, though. When you say author, you say authority.
Mm-hmm.
Authority.
Mm-hmm.
This is what concerns me. I can go to the library right now, and I can spend time with Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
And I have. And I can read what he wrote.
Sure.
I have intimate time
mm-hmm.
with anybody you want to get in touch with. Socrates, whoever it is.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
Okay. So what happens with this AI stuff?
Right.
How are we going to be able to differentiate between what's legitimate? I mean, what's going to happen is people can come on down to my basement here. Look, and I got some of these books. These these existed before. This is the real McCoy.
Right, right. Well, and yeah, and when you talk about this idea of a post-literate society, you know, you see evidence of that besides just test scores and things. You see people spending all this time on their devices. And what are they doing? They're watching videos. They're watching dumb cat videos.
It's like Fahrenheit 451, but it just came in a different way.
Well, and they're watching reels, which, you know, they're super short videos. They're killing people's attention span. That's not depth of content at all. And they're not reading. You know, they're listening to things, but again, there's not depth to what's going on. People's attention spans are being destroyed.
We're going hither and yon in a frenetic pace.
Right.
I mean, I had a friend of mine, he has a podcast. I have a podcast studio back in Florida.
Sure.
And so recently, this one friend, he asked his wife, he said, did you hear my new show? She goes, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings, honey, but I can't take an hour anymore to listen to you. People think they have to listen to the whole hour. So now when I'm renting this time, I say, you can have an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying the money to record the studio and have our engineer and do all this stuff, I said, better to have a 15, 10 or 15 minute show.
Right.
the let's just say the more people haven't got time for 1 hour shows.
No, they haven't got time, but time, at least they think they don't. So actually I think people have more time than they think they do. Yeah. But often it's that they can't pay attention that long. And so anyway, you know, you've got this one camp of church leaders that's like, you know, God's word, written word, great. We love it. Others are like, no, post-literate society. And they think, well, we need to actually just go with what society's doing. You know, we're not going to encourage people to, you know, spend all this time like focusing on these reading strategies because, well, we could just do like, you know, an overview of the Bible, or we should do some Bible videos. And there's nothing wrong with those things.
No.
But that's not all there is. And when we're like, well, I think really the attitude is it's just they think it's just too hard to retrain somebody to be solidly literate. It's too hard.
Let me ask you this.
So,
and now you were a teacher for 15 years. By the way, we're talking with Mandy Knowlton, and she's written the book Biblical Literacy for Kids, teaching students to read the Bible for themselves. So you're a teacher. Now, I at 68 years of age, 4 years ago, I went back to college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And when I was in school, remember, I'm a high school, I only had an eighth grade education. Mm-hmm. I did take some classes here and there on the side. But so I go back, and I'm on the dean's list.
Nice.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, which is really cool, but of course, I'm an old guy. I didn't care about grades. I wanted to be there. And those professors, they could tell, male or female, they knew, well, this guy wants to be. I sat right in the front row, and I was there, and they knew they had my attention. And, of course, what do you want? If you're an artist, you want somebody who looks at your paintings. That's their art, is teaching. I want to ask you this. Mm-hmm. So I could spend an hour with you as a teacher or professor in a room.
Okay.
I could spend the same hour and read a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. Why do we still use humans, and why are we so attracted to having somebody in the front of the room taking us through certain steps? What is that? Is it the? I can't figure this out. Why we like teachers when you can read a lot more, but it's much more enjoyable to have a teacher.
Well, I mean, I think God answered that in Genesis, right? We were wired for connection, and God put Adam in the garden, and then what does he say? It was not good that man was alone. That was the only thing in the garden that wasn't good, was because he was alone. So when you're trying to learn something, if you have a good teacher there, then you have that connection with that person instead of just trying to do it by yourself.
So it's all, once again, it's all about relationship.
That's right.
God is alone in the universe for billions and billions of years and said, look, I want to create man for fellowship.
Yep.
And so we're made the same. We're made in the image of God. So,
well, and even God wasn't alone because he had the Trinity.
Yeah.
So he was, but also wasn't, which is weird. But yeah. But even so, that
we don't have the mind, the capability of understanding.
Nope. But it still shows us that importance of relationship.
Yeah, and you know, one of my prayers is, I didn't know I'm telling you this, but one of my prayers is I say, God, I don't, heaven forbid that you become common to me. I like the idea that he's God and I'm not, and I can relax. You know, for the first part of my life, for the first 21 years, I fought because I thought maybe I was the center of the universe. Mm. You know, I think we think that.
Sure.
And I remember I got born again. I'm in my bed at night, and I went, oh, my word, this is great. I'm not God. I actually said that. Not that I ever said I thought I was God, but somehow, subconsciously, I must have thought. And suddenly I was released from thinking, am I the center of the universe? Did I create all this? Where I came from darkness and into the light? Well, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, my God, I don't have to be God.
That's right. Definitely, I'm glad I don't have to be that either.
Oh, my word. Can you imagine?
That would not be good.
How do you shoulder all this, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I had my best friend died. He was 98, a little over a year ago. And he said, look, do you think there's a God? He says, who made the sun come up every morning? Look at just the birds. How does he feed all the birds? How does he feed all the spiders? And who does he feed the spiders to? And it just goes on and on. It's just simply outrageously amazing.
Mm-hmm. And that same wonder that you're talking about is the wonder that, like, when you were like, why did I write this book? Because I want students to experience that same wonder by encountering God in the Bible and then deepening their relationship with him, and then being able to, you know, like you said, looking around in nature and being like, oh my gosh, look at what God has done.
And parents need to be really pushing hard for this. As I said, my name is Rhett Palmer. You can check out my history. I've been on the radio 33 years. I've met kings and queens and U.S. presidents and secretaries of states, multiple, and all these recording artists and stars. I will tell you, there is a thread. I've always looked for the thread. One is humility. Even Billy Graham, extreme humility. Garth Brooks, very humble, sweetheart guy. Go on and on. President Bush Sr. always made me laugh. Great sense of humor, which I think is a telltale sign of a greater intellect. But they all read Warren Buffett, 1,500 words a day. The guy who started Microsoft, 500 words a day. Billionaires I know. They read. So if you want your children to succeed, and what parent doesn't want their children to do even better than they did?
Right. I'm pretty sure they all want that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's part of it. So biblical literacy for kids, teaching students to read the Bible for themselves. Mandy Knowlton is the author. Mandy, Knowlton, is the author of this. So what should we do here? Let's continue on here. In your opinion, how serious is the biblical literacy problem among children today?
Well, because literacy is so threatened, then biblical literacy just follows, right? And perhaps we should define that for people.
Yeah.
I would say biblical literacy is the ability to independently read, understand, and apply a Bible passage to your life. And without, like if you're an adult especially, without needing an accompanying sermon or study guide to understand the biblical passage. You may not understand everything about the passage that you read, but if you can read it, understand it, apply it to your life, you have biblical literacy. If you can't do that, then you don't. And doesn't mean you can't develop it, but that's kind of where we draw the line. And so because so many children struggle to really comprehend what they're reading, then biblical literacy is right there within that same problem.
Let me ask you this, a little conjecture on your part, but how can children maintain faith in an increasingly secular culture? It's like it's anti-Christ, anti-God. I know Jesus said the world hates...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.